The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Before I start, I need a drink of water. And practice the delicate art of mask removal without sending my glasses to Bud and the microphone back over to Eli. So, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, Jesus says to his disciples. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. It is interesting to encounter these words of promise that Jesus shares with his disciples during the farewell discourse in John's Gospel text this morning, particularly because it was last week that we read about the fulfillment of this promise in chapter 20, the moment when Jesus delivered that peace he promises in our reading today, and when he breathed the Holy Spirit into each of his disciples, equipping them for the work he calls us to do. It's a little out of sync, right? Last week we read about it happening, and this week we're reading about it being promised. That's not how things usually work. After all, we function in a linear timeline, don't we? One day follows the next, and so on and so forth. We are not Doc Brown and Marty McFly, and this ain't Back to the Future. So, why are we reading these related texts out of order, backwards? Why is it important for us to hear about the promise of the Holy Spirit and Christ's peace after we've already heard about their delivery, the fulfillment of the promise? Why are we reading them out of order, Pastor Pear? Truth be told, I don't know. Maybe we are reading these stories of promise and fulfillment out of order because it is helpful in this particular moment in time, in the middle of a deeply divided and hotly contested presidential election, a moment in time where we are often inundated with promises that sound a little too good to be true because, well, frankly, they are. Maybe it is necessary at moments like this for us to hear the story of a promise made that we know has been, is now, and will be fulfilled. Or maybe we are reading these stories of promise and fulfillment out of order because in this age of consumerism, in an economic system that thrives on basing a person or an entire community's worth solely on the money they can make and then spend on material goods that serve as signifiers of success to the rest of society but have little or nothing to do at all with actual value, Maybe it is necessary in times like this for us to hear the story of a promise that is rooted in a real relationship with God that values who and whose we truly are. Maybe we are reading these stories of promise and fulfillment out of order because in this particular 24-hour news cycle where we are constantly bombarded with clickbait stories and the never-ending scroll on the ratings-driven infotainment news networks, a moment in time where every story we hear, every headline we read, every bit of information is delivered either to stoke our fear or to tell us only the things that we want to hear, thus antagonizing us against one another or driving us deeper into isolation. Maybe it is necessary in times like this for us to remember that God's timeline moves differently than ours, and that the gospel of God's love seeks only to liberate us from fear and drive us towards one another in love. Or maybe, just maybe, we are reading these stories of promise and fulfillment out of order because when setting out to arrange the text for this season of congregational renewal, this summer of adventure, the adventure of joy, the adventure of relationship, the adventure of the Spirit, your pastor sat down with great thought and intent and attention paid to the overarching monthly theme and the mini theme or focus of each week, not to mention the particular concerns and needs of this congregation in this place and time, that your faithful, thoughtful, dare I say, brilliant pastor took time and care in choosing each and every one of these texts, but, you know, didn't exactly check to see how they lined up. Maybe it is necessary in times like these for us to read these stories of promise and fulfillment out of order so that we might remember that even the best laid plans were usually made by a dummy like me. So why are we reading these stories out of order, you ask? I really don't know. But here is something that I do know. Every day that I drive here to Christ the King Lutheran Church in Bloomington, Minnesota, every day that I leave my house in St. Paul and make the not short trek to this building, whether it is for a meeting in the evening or for worship on Sunday morning or just to do my daily duties as your pastor in this place, my route rarely changes. I mean, obviously, 5 and 494 pose their own unique challenges depending on the season. And sometimes the latter part of my route has to adjust accordingly. But the first part of my drive, from Summit to Lexington to 7th Street, remains unchanged. It's exactly the same, no matter the time of day or year. And every day, as I coast down the hill on that last stretch of Lexington Avenue before it turns into 7th Street, I pass this house. Now, the house itself is barely visible from the street because of the angle of the tree-covered hill it sits on. But just past the mailbox and the driveway of this house, there stands upright a concrete circle with a single straight line running its diameter right down the middle of it. And at the bottom of this straight line are two smaller lines at an angle reaching from the middle to the bottom of that circle right where it turns just gently up back into the circle. It's got to be about 3 or 4 feet tall and wide, this concrete sculpture, this piece of yard art, this unmistakable symbol, this piece sign. Every day I pass, drive past this peace sign. And every day, summer, winter, spring, or fall, I find myself noting it, marking its presence, whether I can see it or not. As you might expect, in the fall or in the spring, when the plant life is on either end of its vitality, this large concrete peace symbol is pretty easy to see. But in the winter, when the snow is high, or in the summer, especially this summer, when the wild green life spreads out every which way, it can be harder or nearly impossible to see. But every day, I drive past this concrete symbol, this peace sign. And whether I can see it or not, I know it's there. I take notice of its place in my path, on my journey. In sunshine or in rain, buried in snow or surrounded by plants, I recognize that it is there. And you know something? It's there on my drive back home, too. On the opposite side, maybe. A little further away, maybe. Not in the order that I first encountered it earlier that day, but it's there. So maybe we are reading these stories of promise and fulfillment out of order this season for one or all of the reasons I mentioned. Maybe we do need to remember what it means to truly trust our God. Maybe we do need to remember that God's sense of worth, of value, isn't the same as ours. That Jesus doesn't give to us as the world gives. Maybe we do need to remember that where the world pushes us into isolation by offering fear and false comforts at every turn, God brings us together by offering love and accompaniment always and forevermore. And, you know, maybe you have a pastor who, in spite of his best efforts and most heartfelt intentions, did something dumb and put these stories in the wrong order. Stranger things have surely happened. Or maybe, just maybe, when we read these stories of promise and fulfillment, we are reminded that the presence of the Holy Spirit is with us, no matter what order we read them in. Maybe, just maybe, as we zoom down the road of this adventure with all its ups and downs and twists and turns, as we move through this life with its successes and foibles, its seasons of dormancy and its seasons of regrowth, maybe, just maybe, we need a reminder every now and again, or every day, twice a day, that the peace of Christ is with us always, whether we can see it on the side of the road or not. Maybe. Amen. Spirit.